I encourage you to turn to the Gospel of Mark, chapter 2. Mark, chapter 2. I'd like to read in your hearing verses 18 through 22 of Mark, chapter 2. This is what the Sovereign Lord says. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, "Why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast?" And Jesus said to them, "Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. But the days will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them, and then they will fast in those days. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilled, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins." Will you pray with me? Father, today is the Lord's day. We gather to worship your name. It is our desire to hear the Spirit of the Lord speak through the word of the Lord. Grant to us ears to hear, that we might know your will and that you are glorified. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen. We continue our journey through the Gospel of Mark. In chapter 2, we begin to encounter Jesus' critics as they criticize him on four separate occasions. Two for doing what they think that he should not do, and two for not doing what they think he should do. He forgave the sins of a paralytic. This was something his critics thought that he should not do. He ate with tax collectors and sinners. This also was something they thought that he should not do. Today we encounter the criticism of what they thought that Jesus and his disciples should be doing. In this encounter, Mark will continue to document Jesus' movements and his works. In chapter 1, we see him walking by the Sea of Galilee. He and his disciples went into Capernaum. There he entered the synagogue and taught. They entered the house of Simon and Andrew. A long while before daylight, Jesus is in a solitary place. Later, he's preaching in the synagogue and throughout Galilee. In chapter 2, he's in a house in Capernaum. He went out again by the sea. Then he was dining in Levi's house. But in today's verses, no location is mentioned. We don't know if he's near the sea, in the synagogue, inside or outside of a house. Previously, Mark also documented the people around Jesus. After the calling of the disciples at the Sea of Galilee, there are descriptors of the people groups that Jesus encounters. There's a man with an unclean spirit. There is Simon's wife's mother. There are all who were sick and those who were demon-possessed. There are the many who were sick with various diseases. There is the leper who came to him. There is the paralytic who was carried by four men. There were some scribes who were sitting there reasoning in their hearts. There was the multitude who came to him, but there was Levi, the son of Alphaeus, sitting at the tax collector's booth. In today's passage, no descriptor of the people that question him are revealed. There's just this third person plural pronoun, they. So in this passage, there is something unique that Mark is revealing. Previously, we knew where they were, where they were moving to. Previously, we could identify the groups that Jesus is encountering. Here, no place is mentioned and no descriptor of the people is revealed. Let's begin this investigation by considering these unnamed people. Look at verse 18. It says, the disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and of the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? Who are these concealed individuals? Now, if you were reading Matthew, particularly Matthew chapter 9, verse 14, Matthew identifies that these are John's disciples, John the Baptist's remaining followers. While some of John's followers joined Jesus, others continued to follow his teaching after his imprisonment and remained a distinct religious group for many years. If they were John's disciples, they have returned to normal life in Galilee. The Apostle John may have described them this way. They went out from us, but they were not of us. For if they had been of us, they would have continued with us. But they went out that they might be made manifest that none of them were of us. We can conclude that this group is not or no longer associated with John's disciples. They are not the disciples of the Pharisees. They are not followers of Jesus. They are simply known as they. They appear to have some religious knowledge. They know about the Pharisees and their practices. The Old Testament described fasting for all Jews only on the annual Day of Atonement as an act of repentance. But the Pharisees promoted voluntary fasts on every Monday and Thursday as an act of piety. This same group appeared to have some cultural knowledge. Even if they were not previously John's disciples, they probably knew what John was doing and where he was doing it. They may have heard his message. They could point and say, that's a disciple of John over there. That group over there, those are the disciples of the Pharisees. So they seem to have had some religious knowledge and also some cultural knowledge. We would probably name this group today as the independent voter. One description of today's independent voter is a voter who does not have long-standing loyalty to or identification with a political party. Here we see that this group has no identification with any discipleship party. They are not disciples of John the Baptist. They are not disciples of the Pharisees. They are not followers of Jesus. They are the independent group. Who are these concealed individuals? They are observant. They are aware of the activities around them. They could say to this group, Jacob, I see you fasting again. You're with those John the Baptist people, right? How's that locust and wild honey going? They could point to the Pharisees and say, hey, Eli, the Pharisee group over there, what are they doing when they're not fasting? I mean, Monday and Thursday. So what's dinner like on Wednesdays? Steak, hamburgers? So they are observant. They see what's going on around them. They are bold. There's no fear of approaching others with the questions about their personal beliefs or about their activities. We would say that this is a good independent group. Observant and yet bold. They lack fear. They can approach Jesus with questions. They're not content with approaching Jesus' disciples, not the people who hang around Jesus, but Jesus himself. Yo, Jesus, I got a question for you. Check this out. Boldness. Yet they are also non-committed, not persuaded by the religious beliefs or activities of others. This group fasts, and this group fasts. That does not mean that I need to fast or we need to fast. They believe those things, good on them. Doesn't mean that I need to believe those things. The independent group. I'll make up my mind when I'm ready to make up my mind. And when I make up my mind, I make up my mind. You cannot make up my mind for me. I got a mind, you got a mind. I'm going to mind my business, you mind your business. We'll get along. The independent group. You know this group. They are in and among our families. They are fellow students, teachers, co-workers, and supervisors. They could even be strangers we encounter in some brief conversation at HEB or Walmart. These are they who have some religious knowledge. Maybe their parents took them to church when they were kids, or they attended some youth event. Maybe they are part of the group known as cultural Christians, who are familiar or participate in the annual traditions of some religious group. This group has some religious knowledge and are not uncomfortable talking about religious things. What about that virgin birth? Do you really think that's possible? What do you think about the swoon theory? You know, the belief that Jesus didn't really die at his crucifixion, but was merely unconscious when he was laid in a tomb, and there he resuscitated. This group has some religious knowledge. They are not uncomfortable talking about religious things, and this group is uncommitted. They are not followers of Jesus. Therefore, the things that Jesus is doing is concealed to them. If you are in this group, your approach to Jesus is like John's disciples and the disciples of the Pharisees. You are familiar with the old, but the new is concealed. Let's continue our investigation by considering something else that is concealed. Look at verses 18 and 19. The disciples of John and of the Pharisees were fasting. Then they came and said to him, why do the disciples of John and the Pharisees fast, but your disciples do not fast? And Jesus said to them, can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? As long as they have the bridegroom with them, they cannot fast. To those familiar with the old, the new time for fasting is concealed. This event is placed after the meal at Levi's house, but it could have occurred concurrent with what was happening at Levi's house. If indeed this question about fasting is occurring at the same time that Jesus and his disciples are at Levi's house feasting, maybe this is what drew this group up there and say, you know, those guys, they're fasting. You guys are feasting. What's up with that? Jesus and his disciples with the tax collectors and sinners are feasting with the disciples, and these other guys are fasting. John's disciples know it's time to fast. The disciples of the Pharisees know it's time to fast. This independent group observes that it must be fasting time for religious people. This Jesus guy is a religious guy, and he's got these people following him. Don't they know it's time to fast? Some of you may be familiar with a television show out of Vegas called Battle Bots. These are teams of engineers who build remote control bots that are placed in a ring where they fight the other engineer team's bots. The prize, after you've beaten so many of these other engineer team bots, is the giant bolt, a nut. Only an engineer could appreciate that. That's the prize, a nut. And so they spend thousands, hundreds of thousands of dollars building these very sophisticated robots to beat this other team. And they come from New Zealand, Australia, Brazil. They have these sponsors, and they're all engineers, men and women alike. Now, the fighting doesn't get started until a gentleman named Farouk gives the announcement. And he has a very simple announcement. It's robot fighting time. So this observant independent group is thinking, it's fasting time. I see this group fasting. I see this group. What's up with this group? Don't they know it's fasting time? But something new is occurring that is concealed in these old ways. Jesus introduces the new with a question. Can the friends of the bridegroom fast while the bridegroom is with them? What an interesting response to, hey, why aren't you fasting? In Jesus' response, other things are revealed but are concealed to John's disciples, to the disciples of the Pharisees, and this independent group. First of all, they don't know the bridegroom. They are not friends of the bridegroom. What the bridegroom is doing has no impact on what they are doing. What the bridegroom says has no impact on what they believe. They are not associated with the friends of the bridegroom. They were not able to distinguish between the time for fasting and the time for feasting. The time for fasting is concealed to this group. Jesus is before them, but they don't recognize who he is. Jesus is fulfilling the old and ushering in the new, but they don't recognize it. By their own choice, they remain uncommitted to Jesus. Are you a friend of the bridegroom? If you are here today because this is where the friends of the bridegroom gather, then hear the words of the Apostle John. This is the love of God, that we keep his commandments, and his commandments are not burdensome. For whatever is born of God overcomes the world, and this is the victory that has overcome the world, our faith. Who is he who overcomes the world but he who believes that Jesus is the Son of God? If you are here to participate in the cultural traditions of some religion, engaging in a traditional fasting does not make you friend of the bridegroom. Engaging in religious dialogue does not make you a friend of the bridegroom. Here's what Jesus says to those who are not his friends. And he said to them, "You are from beneath. I am from above. You are of this world. I am not of this world. Therefore, I say to you that you will die in your sins. For if you do not believe that I am he, you will die in your sins." The time for fasting is concealed to this independent group. Jesus uses two parables to reveal other things that are concealed. Although the question was about fasting, something greater than fasting is being revealed here. Look at verse 21. "No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, or else the new piece pulls away from the old, and the tear is made worse." In this metaphor is the incompatibility of following Jesus, the new piece, with the old rituals of Judaism, the old garment. However, the use of this new garment is concealed to John's disciples, the disciples of the Pharisees, and this independent group. There is agreement or common knowledge that no one should patch an old garment with a new unshrunk piece of cloth. But these other groups cannot distinguish the new from the old. They are blind to the newness of the gospel. This is what the Lord proclaimed through Jeremiah the prophet. "Declare this in the house of Jacob and proclaim it in Judah, saying, hear this now, O foolish people without understanding, who have eyes and see not, and who have ears and hear not." They see Jesus, but not as the bridegroom. They hear Jesus, but they do not understand him. They have a question for Jesus, but nothing else. They do not have an unclean spirit, so they don't need Jesus. Their mother-in-law is not sick, so they don't need Jesus. They were not sick with various diseases, so they don't need Jesus. We don't know if they were considered wise men, mighty men, or rich men. We do know that they have not expressed a need for Jesus or the newness that he brings. The new garment and its purpose is concealed. It will pull away from the old. This metaphor about a garment is an announcement about Jesus' life, which is part of the fulfilling of the gospel, that Jesus' life, death, and resurrection provide salvation to all those whom the Father has granted to the Son. It is concealed to John's disciples, the disciples of the Pharisees, and this independent group. The application here is that something greater than an observation about fasting is being revealed. The independent group understands the patching of garments, but they do not understand the application it should have to their very own lives. They appear content with knowing about Jesus, talking with Jesus, but not following Jesus. They know religious people. They know where to find them. They know the habits of such people. They may have participated in the religious rituals of their day, yet the book of Hebrews proclaims the first covenant, the old garment, had ordinances and divine services and the earthly sanctuary. But these are part of the old things. Later in the chapter of Hebrews, chapter 9, in verse 11, it says, Christ came as high priest of the good things to come, with the greater and more perfect tabernacle not made with hands, that is not of this creation. The correction that's needed here comes from Jeremiah chapter 9. Thus says the Lord, let not the wise man glory in his wisdom, let not the mighty man glory in his might, nor let the rich man glory in his riches, but let him who glories glory in this, that he understands and knows me, that I am the Lord, exercising loving kindness, judgment, and righteousness in the earth, for in these I delight, says the Lord. If you are in this independent group, your religious activities cannot merit pardon of sin or eternal life. If you are a friend of the bridegroom, your good works done in obedience to God's commandments are the fruits and evidence of a true and lively faith. We have Jesus and his disciples. We have John's disciples fasting. We have the Pharisees fasting. They're engaged in religious activities. We have this independent group who sees the religious activities, have some knowledge of it, knowledge of their culture, but they would stand independent of these groups and apart from Jesus. And as things are concealed to these religious groups, it's also concealed to this independent group. Something greater is occurring here, greater than this observation of fasting, and they don't see it. To their own peril, they do not see it. But they are observant, and they are bold, but they are also blind. The new garment and what it reveals is concealed. And if one metaphor was not enough to open their eyes or to grant them greater understanding, the scriptures bear out there is an emphasis taking place. It's not enough to say it one time. And yet Jesus uses this other parable for emphasis. This new garment and what it reveals is concealed. And to emphasize, another metaphor is provided. Look at verse 22. And no one pours new wine into old wineskins, or else the new wine bursts the wineskins. The wine is spilt, and the wineskins are ruined. But new wine must be put into new wineskins. The new wine is concealed. What was true of the new garment is also true of the new wine. No one sews a piece of unshrunk cloth on an old garment, and no one puts new wine into old wineskins. They know this, but their question demonstrates that they don't know this. They know the consequences to the old garment and the old wineskins. So why pursue the new? If my old car still runs, why buy a new one? I've never washed it, but washing a car doesn't make it go faster. It has many miles on it, but it still runs. We know what happens if you put new wine into new wineskins. That's why no one does it. But so why deal with the new? I've got the old, and it still works. They are blind to the new. If my religious views and activities are okay, why change? You are blind to the new. I'm connected to a church. I give the nod to the pastor. When I arrive, he sees that I'm here. I'm involved in the fellowship of the believers. I stay around after the sermon long enough to have a brief conversation with a few people. But hey, I've got things to do with my Sunday. But I was here, gave a nod to the pastor, spoke to a few people. I was here, you saw me, I'm gone. I'm committed to the work of the church, so I put a little something in the offering box. It's the old, but blind to the new. These are religious activities, but how are they connected to Jesus? The new wine is concealed. If Jesus were to pour new wine into your wineskin, what would burst? Would you approach Jesus with a different statement? Not about fasting, not about the cultural events of the day, not about those disciples or those disciples. Would it be something like this? Jesus, Son of David, have mercy on me. If Jesus was to pour new wine into your wineskin, would your response be, Lord, I believe, help my unbelief? And what would you do with this knowledge of Jesus if he were to pour new wine into your wineskin? Totally disrupting your cultural understanding of what religion is and its activities. What would burst? Would you be able to say with the psalmist regarding the knowledge of Jesus, your word I have hidden in my heart that I might not sin against you? How would you react with the friends of the bridegroom? Jesus' desires for his friends are revealed in John 17. This is verses 20 and 21. I do not pray for these alone, but also for those who will believe in me through their word, that they all may be one as you, Father, are in me and I in you, that they also be one in us, that the world may believe that you sent me. If you are in this independent group, Jesus is offering you new wine. Although the new and the old was concealed, Jesus is revealing the new. And it could be to someone in this independent group and to any to whom the Spirit of God speaks through the Word of God. Jesus says, my sheep hear my voice. And I know them. In this encounter with this independent group, Jesus makes no claim to who they are. And maybe this is why Mark does not identify them. They are just simply they. I know them, and they follow me. And I give them eternal life, and they shall never perish. neither shall anyone snatch them out of my hand. If you are a friend of the bridegroom and your fellowship of Jesus has become like a religious activity, I encourage you to remember your first love. The guests of the bridegroom are with Jesus. What should they see concerning the new that is revealed? So we have John's disciples fasting, the disciples of the Pharisees, and we have this independent group. But with Jesus, the bridegroom, they are his disciples are with him. What should they see as the guests of the bridegroom concerning the new that is revealed? His presence with them constitute a situation as joyous as a wedding feast. But this situation will change. For the time will come when the bridegroom will be taken away from them. Isaiah 53 says it this way: He was taken from prison and from judgment. And who will declare his generation? For he was cut off from the land of the living. For the transgressions of my people he was stricken. The day in which Jesus is taken will be his crucifixion. If fasting is a type of sorrow, his disciples will fast. But fasting while he is with them is inappropriate, because Jesus is with them, and with Jesus there is joy. What should the guests of the bridegroom see concerning the new that is revealed? They can be confident that they are friends of the bridegroom, because Jesus says they are. The bridegroom speaks on their behalf. It's unknown how they would have answered the question from this independent group, but they didn't need to. Jesus spoke for them. Their physical time with the bridegroom is limited. He will die for sins according to the scriptures. He will be buried, but he will rise again the third day according to the scriptures. Jesus came forth from the Father and has come into the world. This same Jesus will be taken into heaven, but will so come again in like manner. When he returns, he will judge the nations. He will say to those on his right, "Come, you blessed of my Father." Then he will say to those on the left hand, "Depart from me, you cursed, into everlasting fire. Depart, prepare for the devil and his angels." It's interesting. In that metaphor, there's only two groups, one on his left and one on his right. There is no independent group. You are either friends of the bridegroom or you are not his friends. You are involved in the activities over here, religious activities, or activities over here. Or you're not involved in any of those activities, but you're either a friend of the bridegroom or you are not. You can be involved in all kinds of activities. Call them good, call them religious, call them important, call them saving the planet, call them rescuing animals. But none of that matters, does not matter if you are not a friend of the bridegroom. All this activity this observation, this boldness when the Son of Man returns is subject to judgment if you are not a friend of the bridegroom. The most important thing happening here is what's happening with Jesus, not what's happening over there or with this independent group. It is concealed to them what Jesus is doing, him and his disciples. But yet this independent group is bold enough to think that they know what Jesus should be doing. But Jesus expresses enough mercy and grace to reveal something to them. This is a new thing, and it cannot contain the old. The old will simply be destroyed. We have no indication what they did with this information that Jesus has provided. Will they continue in the old, making observations about their culture and the religious activities of religious people, doing religious things at religious times for religious reasons? Will they continue in these things? Or will they allow the wine that Jesus provides to burst all of that? And something new takes place in their hearts, in their minds, in their wills. So they're willing to allow Jesus to correct their thinking. Allow Jesus to correct how they will live their lives, what they will do with their lives, how they will interact with people. Will that wine burst all of that and flood their lives with the new? Or will it remain concealed? They stand before Jesus. They have an opportunity that we did not have. Jesus is in their physical presence. Some would say, if you just show me God, that will be enough. Jesus responds, even to his disciples, don't you know me, Philip? Even after I've been among you such a long time? Anyone who has seen me has seen the Father. How can you say, show me the Father? These people are in the very presence of Jesus. And they do not believe. They cannot see. We have such an opportunity today. We have his written word. The Spirit of God speaks to us through his word. And so my question to you who are not yet friends of the bridegroom, will you allow this wine to so fill you and burst all of this stuff so that you might experience the new? Hear the words that those familiar with the old should have seen in Jesus' response. Behold, the days are coming, says the Lord, when I will make a new covenant with the house of Israel and with the house of Judah, not according to the covenant that I made with their fathers in the day that I took them by the hand to lead them out of the land of Egypt. My covenant, which they broke, though I was a husband to them, says the Lord. But this is the covenant that I will make with the house of Israel after those days, says the Lord. I will put my law in their minds and write it on their hearts. And I will be their God, and they shall be my people. This is the word of the Lord. Will you pray with me? Father, because of our sin, we are blind to your gospel. But you demonstrated your own love toward us in that while we were still sinners, Christ died for us.
Having now been justified by Jesus' blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. We are grateful that all who come in faith and find forgiveness at the cross. Pour new wine into our wineskins. Cause these old things to be burst. Renew a right spirit within us that we might know afresh the bridegroom. I pray this in Christ's name. Amen.